Our scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Psalms. We're going to read together Psalm 17. Let us yet pray. Father, as we continue in the Word, may the light of Thy Word shine upon our path. Speak to us by the working of the Holy Spirit for Thy glory's sake. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Psalm 17 is a prayer of David. This is his prayer. Hear a just cause, O Lord. Attend to my cry. Give ear to my prayer from lips free of deceit. From your presence let my vindication come. Let your eyes behold the right. You have tried my heart. You have visited me by night. You have tested me, and you will find nothing. I have purposed that my mouth will not transgress. With regard to the works of man by the word of your lips, I have avoided the ways of the violent. My steps have held fast to your paths. My feet have not slipped. I call upon you, for you will answer me, O God. Incline your ear to me. Hear my words. Wondrously show your steadfast love, O Savior, of those who seek refuge from their adversaries at your right hand. Keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me in the shadow of your wings from the wicked who do me violence, my deadly enemies who surround me. They close their hearts to pity. With their mouths they speak arrogantly. They have now surrounded our steps. They set their eyes to cast us to the ground. He is like a lion, eager to tear, as a young lion lurking in ambush. Arise, O Lord, confront him, subdue him, deliver my soul from the wicked by your sword, from men by your hand, O Lord, from men of the world whose portion is in this life. You fill their womb with treasure, they are satisfied with children, and they leave their abundance to their infants. As for me, I shall behold your face in righteousness. When I awake, I shall be satisfied with your likeness. Psalm 17. Here again the words of verse 7 and 8. Wondrously show your steadfast love, O Savior, of those who seek refuge from their adversaries at your right hand. Keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me in the shadow of your wings. May the Lord so bless this portion of his word for his glory's sake, and that we may be strengthened in the most holy faith. Beloved congregation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in my own tradition, in visiting the homes of family friends, we would sometimes be in a home that had several of those blue Delft plates on the wall. And some of them would be emblazed with a Dutch little pithy saying, a saying of wisdom. One of them had a saying which, translated into English, said, "In the concert of life, no one gets a program. In the concert of life, no one gets a program." It was a way of trying to say that one wonders, one really doesn't know how life will unfold in the circumstances of life and time. And as you reflect on your life, I'm sure there have been occasions and situations which have taken you by complete surprise. We think of this whole COVID business, and who would have imagined at the beginning of 2020 the unfolding events of this calendar year? Circumstances that have entered your life that have troubled you deeply. It could have been an illness or a circumstance of illness that you face even now that is debilitating. Loss of a loved one. Work situations that have not turned out. Children who have gone wayward. Brokenness in the family. Marriages that are going through the motions. Work that is not very satisfying. A culture that is unraveling before our eyes. A pundit in the United States once said, "Have we reached the ultimate stage of absurdity where some people are held responsible for things that happened before they were born, while other people are not held responsible for what they themselves are doing today?" We see that in the rioting in the cities of the United States. But now closer to our own situation, each pew, I don't know you very well, a few maybe, but in each pew I'm sure there is a concern, a hurt, even tears. And in some cases, tears that seemingly have no end. And how important it is that the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ never lose sight of the fact that we are to be a hospital, that we are to be the hands and feet that must come alongside one another, both in joy and in sorrow. Life has its struggles. And from our perspective, the perplexity of the unknowns and troubling situations are before us, and yet we gather in the confession that with God, there are no surprises. And in faith, we can confidently be certain that we serve a God who knows the beginning from the end. God has a plan and a purpose for which we give thanks. God shows His way by grace, demonstrated so clearly in the love of the Savior, for which we give thanks. And we must never lose sight of our calling to trust the Lord and not lean on our own understanding. God is the sovereign God. And in that sense, the program in the concert of our life is well defined. Having said that, we acknowledge that we're not omniscient. That is to say, we do not know what our life holds, even from moment to moment. That, too, was David's experience. And the boys and girls amongst us this morning, I'm sure, remember that David's life had many ups and downs. Recalling the time when he was hunted like a fugitive by his own father-in-law, Saul. Brokenness in his own family to the point of the conspiracy of his own blood-and son, Absalom, who wanted to take his life. There were the consequences of his own many sins. And we think of his coveting lust for Bathsheba, the shameful adultery, the cover-up attempts even to the extent of the appalling murder of Bathsheba's husband Uriah. Yet the Bible also tells us that David was a man after God's own heart. And in Psalm 17, as we heard the scriptures read, we heard with the ears of faith, we may even see with the eyes of faith, something of David's faith. David desires the Lord's fellowship as he pours out his heart to God. David, in the circumstances of life, situations he faced that just baffled him, he too did not hold the program to the concert of his life. And David over and again appeals to the Lord to uphold his steps, and that so clearly comes forth in his prayer that he earnestly raises to heaven in Psalm 17, brimming full with the testimony of David's faith, and even more importantly, God's love toward those who live in covenant relationship with him. And so as we briefly listen to the teaching of Psalm 17, we do so in faith, seeking something of David's testimony as our own, in order to be strengthened in our own confidence. As we follow the psalm, we see his plea for God's presence. We see petitions for perseverance, that he might enjoy the preservating care of the Lord. And we hear in conclusion a triumphant and a penetrating proclamation, a plea for God's presence. David is in prayer pleading his case as if he was in a law court. He is appealing to the judge, to Almighty God. Here again, the first two verses where David cries out, "Hear a just cause, O Lord. Attend to my cry. Give ear to my prayer from lips free of deceit. From your presence, let my vindication come. Let your eyes behold the right." David is pleading for a hearing with God. Lord God, I need your ears. He's praying with a clear conscience, lips free of deceit. Now, that does not mean that he's denying that he is a sinner. Nobody could say that, of course. But he is praying knowing that there are no specific charges against him. He has sought a life that follows God's commandments. And his prayer is a prayer that comes from an honest heart. There are those in the circle of his life who are filled with deceit. Verses 9 through 14 make that very clear. And there he characterizes such deceit as the wicked that would do him violence. He gives the word picture of the lion in its ruthlessness and cruelty. There are enemies lurking in ambush, waiting for their chance. They are tracking him, surrounding him, attempting to throw him down. And it's not for nothing that the devil is called a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Deceit is a dirty word. Words like pretense, treachery, guile, fraud, double dealing, duplicity comes to mind. And when we encounter the deceitfulness of another, it brings disappointment and even hurt and shock. We wonder, how could this happen? We see it in society. Lots of deceit, more and more. Right is called wrong. Wrong is called right. But closer to home, honesty demands that we admit even in our own praying, there can be deceit. If our prayers are not heartfelt, is there then not a measure of deceit? When we're not honest with ourselves, that takes quite something to be honest with ourselves. How can we be honest with God? Praying through the motions is very dangerous. And we're encouraged again this morning as we pray not to pray by going simply through the motions. David's prayer is a testimony of genuineness. His voice cries out almost shouting as if to get God's attention. He's asking for vindication from those who seek to tear him apart. Let my vindication come from your presence, Lord. David has been tested and scrutinized by the Lord. He's in earnest for God's presence in his life as he deals with the troubling circumstances at hand. So, beloved, I want to ask you this morning, how is it that you experience God's presence in your life in the midst of your trials and tests? and temptations? And how is it that you enjoy the company of the Lord? Do you experience fellowship with the Lord as you pray, as you lift your soul to the Lord, as you read His Word, you sense His nearness? When we are here together as the body of Christ in the courts of the Lord, oh, we too are so much in need of the Lord's presence, to be in close fellowship with Him, and how we all need the comfort that the Lord is with us, that the strengthening comfort of belonging to Jesus Christ, body and soul, in life, through life, and in that moment of the end of life, which we call death, when we leave this life for the next. So we hear David lift his prayer for the gift of perseverance, for God's protecting hand. Come to our second point. Prayer, as you know, is essential to the Christian life. It's to be the heart of our thankfulness before the Lord. John Bunyan said prayer is a shield to the soul. Shield to the soul. A sacrifice to God. Sacrifice to God. And a scourge to Satan. A scourge to Satan. God uses the prayers of His people. And in our prayers, we demonstrate our dependence upon God as we lift our heart's concern to Him. We pray for the hallowing of His name, the coming of His kingdom, that His perfect will be done. And as we pray, we are praying that God's cause might become our own. We are praying with a focus not first of all upon ourselves, but upon God's glory. But God also wants us to pray, testifying as to our great need, in order that we might recognize that our cares, and they are many, our cares are His caregiving, daily bread, forgiveness of sins, protection from temptation. And so when we pray for God's ear. Lord, Lord, hear me, hear me. David praying for a just cause, his cause as he faced the spiritual battle, just as we face many spiritual battles and will face them again in this new week before us. David believed his cause to be just. He has searched his heart for deceit. He is being busy with that very important spiritual discipline of self-examination. He prays for God to judge him righteously. And he prays for God's protecting preservation out of the confession that needs the comfort and the certainty that all God's people need, the perseverance of the saints. Now, this does not mean we just sit back as if the Christian life has no battle. God will take care of it all in the end, and so we'll just slide right along. The assault of the devil is strong. The devil is the accuser who wishes to destroy whatever faith we have. And thus, when we ask God for His ear, we must do so with honesty and fervency. When you count, and depending how it is that you look at Psalm 17, you can count up to 17 petitions. David is making a profession of his God-given piety. He's confident that he is a child of the Lord. Lord, hear my prayer. O Lord, incline your ear to me. Please, Lord, show me the wonder of your great love. Lord, I so much desire to experience your marvelous loving kindness. Or in other words, O Lord God, be faithful to your covenant. Help me to rest in your faithfulness. Help me to realize with confidence the covenant mercy that enjoys the pardon of the Lord. Covenant blessing that brings a confident joy, which in turn calls us to a life of service in God's kingdom. Now, the prayer of Psalm 17 is not only asking for the ear of the Lord, but also God's eye. Examine me, David prays, may your eyes see what is right. Then I will know my vindication. Then I will know I stand in the right. And may those same eyes keep me as the apple of your eye. What a beauty in David's prayer. The apple of the eye refers to the pupil of the eye. The Hebrew word in this context is literally as a little man. Apparently, you can see your reflection in the pupil of someone else's eye, so to speak, as a little person. Now, you know that the eye is perhaps the most vulnerable part of your body. You protect it by blinking. If something comes flying towards you, you turn your face or you duck, damage the pupil, and you will probably lose sight in your eye. I know that from experience. I love the way Spurgeon puts it. No part of the body is more precious, more tender, and more carefully guarded than the eye. And of the eye, no portion more peculiarly to be protected than the central apple, the pupil. The all-wise Creator has placed the eye in a well-protected position. It stands surrounded by the protecting bones like Jerusalem, surrounded by the mountains. Moreover, its great author has surrounded it with many tunics of inward covering. Besides the hedge of the eyebrows and the curtain of the eyelids, the fence of the eyelashes, and in addition, he has given to each one so high a value for his eyes and so quick an apprehension of danger that no member of the body is so faithfully cared for than the organ of sight. Now David prays, keep me as the apple of your eye. Not make me the apple, but keep me. Did you hear the difference? David recognizes his gracious status he has received. One might wonder, how can it be, after all his sinful and willful blunders, the wrong steps, the blatant disobedience evident in David's life? When David slipped, he slipped far down the slippery slope. And then, gathered here this morning, as you pondered those words, you may think to yourself, how can I be the apple of God's eye? How can it be? I'm often so distant from my own Lord. And my heart's concern doesn't always burn for his kingdom. My sin also is great. David's praying in the conviction of what the Lord does, praying for the protection he needs because he knows in his heart and soul that he is precious in the Lord's sight. We might ask, how can that be? And how does that come to be? Well, we answer this way. It is because God's people, by faith and through grace, are united to the true and complete apple of God's eye, the Lord Jesus Christ, the perfect image bearer of God's eye. In Christ's baptism, the Father announced, "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased." At the Transfiguration, there was another announcement from heaven. "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." Jesus Christ, the perfect representation of the very apple found in God's eye. And when we know this to be true for ourselves, we may know in faith and in truth that we are well protected. He will hide us in the shadow of his wings. He is powerful to preserve his people in the perseverance they so desperately, desperately need. The Father seeing his children through the pupil of the eye of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and thereby also beholding us. This is God's promise to us, and we must believe it. In thankfulness, we must act upon it. We must listen to Jesus when he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. We cannot be passive. We cannot leave the truth of God's word in the church pew and leave as if nothing has happened. No, the word must go with us. And as that mother bird raises her wing to protect her young, so God in Christ protects his own. Rock of ages, we sing, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood which from thy wounded side flow be of sin the double cure, save from guilt and make me pure. Christ, the solid rock upon which we stand. And when we ponder these things anew, as is our privilege in every worship service, our hearts must be beating with the sense of that thankful joy. O Lord, how great thou art. Thy everlasting mercy endures forever. Then the concert that sings is full. So in the context of God's ear and eye, David prays for the hand of God. The hand of God to deliver him. Lord, by your mighty hand, save me. David's asking that the Lord might use the wicked to devour each other. We see that more often in Scripture. Babylon is used as a hammer to bruise the nations. Assyria is used as a rod to scourge the children of Israel. Satan is allowed by God to bring affliction to Job. There is the sifting of Peter, even as Jesus said to him, Peter, get behind me, Satan. There's the buffeting that the Apostle Paul experienced. But enemies will not have the last say. Our depraved culture will not have the last word. And that brings us to the triumphant conclusion of Psalm 17. Psalm 17 closes on a beautiful high note. As for me, I will behold your face in righteousness. When I awake, I shall be satisfied with your likeness. One day, the people of the Lord will see the Lord, our blessed Savior, face to face. David knows that while the moment-to-moment program of his life is unknown to him, the ultimate destiny is sure. He will be fully satisfied. And so when we pray, we're not only seeking God's ear, his eye, and his hand, but also ultimately his face. We are praying for the day when we will see God face to face, the very likeness of God, the Lord Jesus himself. Long ago, God told Moses, no one can see my face and live. Almighty God, and Almighty God is holy, and our sin separates us from his holiness. Only Jesus Christ, by his holiness, can unite us to God. And what a glorious gospel message belongs to all those who then confess Christ in truth, a message that our perishing world needs so very desperately. David knows that a day is coming when he will enjoy the fullness of God's presence, a presence open to us by the presence of Jesus Christ in our lives. The greater David, Jesus Christ, pleaded for God's presence. But on Golgotha, it was withdrawn. God turned his face away from the Redeemer. the Redeemer that he had sent in love to this sin-cursed world. And there in the pitch black, or so to speak, there was nothing to see. Jesus endured the wrath of God against sin, your sin and mine. And he did so that we might enjoy the presence of God for eternity. And how humbling this must be to us, and how strengthening this must be for us. May the Lord so add his blessing that the psalm that was ours this morning may be a living testimony in our lives. Living then with the confidence that the program of our lives, although uncertain to us, is very, very well defined. When we trust Jesus, we may know without a shadow of a doubt that our lives are secure. And may the Holy Spirit work his comfort in our souls. And may God's praise be our delight today and every day. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank thee for the testimony of David long ago. Help us, we pray, when we fear our faith will fail, to come back to the conviction that Christ will hold us fast. We thank thee, Father, that thy people are the apple of thine eye through the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee for the ear of God, the eye of God, the hand of God, and the face of God. We pray, Lord, that as we seek thee, that we may know so that we may know that thou art the God who cares for our cares. When the tempter would prevail, we confess Christ will hold us fast. We recognize that we could never keep our life on the path except for the love of God. Indeed, our Savior must hold us fast. So bless us now, Lord, as we continue in worship, as we celebrate the sacrament. Lord, may the glory be thine. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.